Guess what we're doing today? We're exercising our spirit.
Amen.
And we're finding out there's a lot of ways to do that. One of the ways was to call on the Lord's name. What a way to exercise your spirit. And the brother mentioned Stephen yesterday. Our brother Stephen. What a brother. You know, he waited tables. That's what his job was. In other words, he just served the church. And I always wonder, maybe that morning he woke up just to go to the home or the hall, wherever they were at, just to serve, mow the yard. And he never came home. You ever think about that? He told his wife, "Hey, honey, I'll see you later on." And he never came home. But guess how he died? Calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You read that verse. He called on the name of the Lord. Because it was so infused into him, he was able to forgive people in the same way that Christ did. Amen. Okay, so the morning line, as you know, is on exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Now, what is it to enjoy the Lord? I want you to write this down. To enjoy the Lord is to enjoy the Lord. Wow! The Lord! That's it. Once you contact Jesus, touch Jesus, that's enjoying the Lord. Maybe you're weeping, but you're enjoying the Lord. Maybe you're in a low dungeon and hope you had none. But you're enjoying the Lord. Because wherever the Lord is, there's the enjoyment. Remember David said, if I go to heaven, he's there. If I go to hell, he's there. Sometimes we go to heaven, sometimes we go to hell. But we can still enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So when we talk about enjoying the Lord, we're not always talking about jumping and being crazy. Although that's a really good way to enjoy the Lord. We're talking about exercising our spirit. So this line that we're in the morning is more on experience. Okay, there's truth in it because we have the verses, but this line is on experience. And then we have a line on practice, which is our fruit-bearing line. We have an actual practice of our living. And then the evening line is more on vision, something to infuse us with. So I was assigned this message, and it's not fair. Because how can you teach someone singing and thanking the Lord? I got a gnat that keeps flying around me. Sorry. We'll get him in a second. You know, Satan's just a gnat. He just irritates you all the time, right? You're enjoying Jesus and psst. Well, so this 40 minutes or so, I don't really have any interest to teach you. This is not didactic class, teacher, pupil. It ain't going to happen. We're going to experience Jesus together. And I, all the brothers always say, here's my burden for this meeting. So I was laying on my bed last night. I don't know what my burden is for a meeting. I don't think about that too much. But I came up with one. I do have a burden for this meeting. Listen, it is to transfuse you, infuse, infiltrate, penetrate, soak, sog, satiate you. Satiate's not a word. Saturate is a word. With an aspiration and a practice to enjoy Jesus by singing His Word. So are we going to teach that or are we going to do it? We're going to do it. We're going to sing together. Okay? So you don't have to take... This message doesn't have a lot of notes. Don't worry about it. I don't want you to go away with your notes. I want you to go away with being infused.
Amen.
With an aspiration to touch Jesus by yourself, in your room, in your car, and in my favorite spot, the shower. Because in the shower, my voice is so good. Only one person in my life has told me I had a good voice. That's my mother. Of course. No one has told... I know I don't have a good voice. If you actually look way down at the bottom, It says under 2E, whether we sing well or not, we must sing. So I don't know why, but from a boy, I always sang, and my favorite spot was in the shower. And I would sing. Of course, I didn't sing hymns. It was mainly Beatles songs. Sorry, this is what it was, you know, listen. And I would sing in the shower, and my window always faced our neighbors, the Harrises, Mrs. Harris. And it was always faced their dining room, and I'd be singing, and Mrs. Harris would always come out, Brian, out of her porch, Brian, you're singing too loud. And then I got saved. You know, I don't have a voice. I don't sing professionally by far. But I got saved. And I began to sing right away. And guess what I did? I would take my hymnal in the shower with me. I have a hymnal that looked like this, and now it looks like this. It got steamed up. And I would prop that thing up, and I would sing in the shower. It was awesome. I don't prop my hymnal up anymore, but I still sing in the shower. You know, what else are you going to do in the shower but sing? They're made for that because your voice sounds so good. So we're going to sing. We're going to sing the word together. We're going to, you know, and it's a practice. Oh, it's a practice. It takes a little bit of, you don't reach a point. But it just takes a little divine skill to take the Word of God, put it to a tune, and sing. But the benefits are phenomenal because the Word gets burned into you. You know, the Lord said, the psalmist said, I hid thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. How are you going to hide the Word in your heart? Brother David just told me that one of the brothers shared, when you read the Bible, you use your mind. When you sing, you use your heart. So you drop down about 12 inches. So when you sing, the Word gets into your heart. Remember the sower in Mark 4? Sowed the Word of God where? Into the heart. Am I against reading the Bible? Come on. Reading massive amounts? Of course. But you have to take some time to learn. Because God's Word encourages us to sing and to sing the Word of God and to sing things related to the Word. Okay, so to do that, we need to exercise our spirit. Our spirit is the secret and the mystery of our relationship with the Lord. If we live by feeling, we'll only sing when things are going good. I was thinking of the Psalms. You know, what are the Psalms? Are they prayers or are they songs? So David in Psalm 51, the great psalm where he was exposed that he had a gross sin. Remember that the psalm? Well, it's a song. Psalms are songs. So he sang his confession. Have you ever sang your confession? You know, sing confession is a wonderful thing. I can't show it to you now because I don't want to confess to you right now. But I have sung confession to the points of tears. I just took my prayer, put a tune to it, and I sang it, asking for forgiveness or whatever. It's incredible. And then I thought to think, that's what a psalm is. A psalm is a prayer put to song. Hallelujah. You know how psalm, what's the last chapter of Psalm? Psalm what? 150. Yeah, you need to look at Psalm 150 again. All that psalm is on praising. He's not thinking about nothing. He's not worried about his wife. He's not worried about his taxes. He's just singing praises. We're going to get into this first part with the Paul. They were singing praises. Okay, so let's read Romans 1 real quick together. Go. So they got thrown in jail because they were fruit-bearing. Sorry. They were sharing Jesus, and a lot of people didn't like that. And they got thrown in to the crowd rose up against them in 22. The magistrates tore off their garments. in order to beat them. So they took Paul and Silas and they beat them with rods. And when they had laid many stripes upon them. So that means their back is bloody. This is the real deal now. This is not, you know, you say something to your classmate and they look bad at you and you go home all crying, all that. This is the real deal. They're getting beat up for Jesus. It says here that when they had laid many stripes upon them, they threw them into prison. They didn't say, here, sir, why don't you have a seat? Threw them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them securely, who, having received such a charge, threw them into the inner prison. What's that? Like that solitary confinement or something. Charging the jailer to keep them securely. Oh, what was it? Threw them in and secured their feet into stocks. They can't move. Their back's bleeding. Isn't that an awesome time to like, wouldn't that be a normal time to complain a little bit? You know, like Silas says to Paul, what a mess you got us into. Paul says, well, you shouldn't have preached the gospel that day. I told you not to. They didn't do any of that stuff. Listen to this. And about midnight, Paul and Silas, four things, while praying, sang hymns. You know, I want you to be guarded from a disease in the church life among believers, formality. Formality is a disease. Formality. I always like to use the word that reminds me of formality is formaldehyde. What does formaldehyde do? Preserves what? Yeah, it preserves dead things. You know why we like formality? Because we're comfortable. We don't have to exercise. We already know what's going to happen. We know who's going to do what and when they're going to do it. And we've eliminated our responsibility to exercise our spirit. So you say, they were praying, and then they said, well, let's sing hymn too. But it doesn't say that. It says, while praying, sang hymns. So they're praying. What do you think they're praying in that jail? They've got to be thanking God and praising Him for being worthy to suffer for the Lord's name. They were considered worthy for that. And they sang hymns. I don't think he said, hey, Silas, let's sing... Let us rejoice evermore. Didn't do that. They just were praying, sang a hymn. Prayed, sang a hymn. You know, if you go to the prayer meeting where I'm at, I often do that. Right in the middle of the prayer meeting, I break out with a song. Because I don't like formality. Just a little chorus. It keeps people, it wakes them up. Yeah. Okay. Listen, they sing hymns of what? Oh my God, what is a hymn of praise? What is a hymn of praise? To who? To God. And guess what happened? What were the prisoners doing? Why were the prisoners listening? Because they never had a prisoner like this. All the other prisoners are going, oh my God, I'm in so much pain. Get me out of here. I hate the Romans. Spit on the Romans. That's what they were always doing. But not Paul and Silas. They were loving Jesus. They were singing, praising, praying. Listen what happened. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And instantly all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. Have you ever been bound before? Have you ever been shackled? When you come to the meeting, are you unshackled? Or are you bound? You know, if I ask you to pray to get unbound, it's too hard. Because prayer is very subjective. And prayer is always centered toward us. But if you would praise and you would sing, your shackles will fall off. Amen. You know, Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. The last verse says, Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Do you have breath?
Amen.
What do you do?
Praise the Lord.
Ask your neighbor, hey, do you have breath? Ask your neighbor, then what should we do?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Okay, we need a 20-second praise session right now. So when I say go, you all praise the Lord in any way you want, however you want to do it for 20 seconds. One, two, three, go. You know why I did that? Because before I did that, I was looking at too many faces. Everybody, did they serve sour pickles for breakfast or something? But then the minute we started praising, all the smiles went up. It's hard to praise the Lord just. The minute you praise the Lord, you smile. And I'll give you a one-sentence footnote to the sisters. The brothers love sisters that smile. I'll leave it there. Okay. Singing is the best way to get out of ourself. You know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "What then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray also with the mind. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing also with the mind." And I'm always the bad guy where I meet. I'm always the bad guy. I do not like to see people unhappy in a meeting. It just bothers me. I like to see people happy. Even though your day's rotten. You know, my days are rotten all the time. But I have to learn to leave it in my car when I come. I just leave it. You know, the Lord's day is 1 hour out of 168 hours. Can't I just praise the Lord and get out of myself and leave it? But our meetings sometimes, this is a training, I'll tell you the truth. Even the way some of you sing, you just move your mandible. You know, just like the old cartoons, the eyes move this way. You're singing with your mind. If you sing with your heart, it's a whole different thing. When a hymn is, you know, when hymn 152 is called, "Oh, how deep and how far reaching," I have to exercise my will not to cry every time we sing that song. Because I don't want to cry in front of people all the time. I mean, every time we sing it, I cry. How could you sing that hymn without feeling? Even the tune is feeling. It has so much feeling. But when we sing it, "Oh, how deep and how far reaching is thy love, dear Lord, to me, far beyond my power." Sometimes the mouth moves and nothing comes out. It's amazing. I've never heard singing like that. A voiceless singing. Who came up with that? Are you happy like that? Seriously. You know, don't you want to be happy? I just want to be happy. Actually, God's desire is very simple. He wants man to be happy. But when you sing, some of you just move your mandible. You need to sing with your spirit. We read Mark 12, what is the verse? 12:30? All three parts of our being are in that, right? The strength represents the body. So you should sing with feeling. "Oh, to me thy love was given. All thou art as my supply. As true grace I now may share thee, and thy riches e'er enjoy. That's how I sing. Everything's in, my whole being's in there. I notice at the Lord's table, no one wants to sit next to me. I'm aware of this stuff. You know, there's a whole row, and everybody sits over there. I know why. Because if you sit next to me, jab, sing, stand, poop. I understand that. Right? How many times have you sat next to me? How many elbows have you gotten from me? Yeah. He got trained. Stay away from formality. The Lord's table, we do the same thing, but it shouldn't be a formality. It should be flowing, spontaneous. I'm just waiting for some. Why do we have to rely on 10 hymns in a table meeting? Can't we just sing one hymn and spend 30 minutes pop up thanking the Lord? Oh, Lord, your love is deeper than the deepest sea. That's all you have to say. Okay, amen. I think you're getting my feel for that. So don't be that type of person. And when you sense you are, exercise. You tell yourself, I am not going to go into that meeting sad. And if it takes you to walk around wherever you meet, walk around wherever you meet, walk around. Stay in the car. Have a breakthrough. Pray, Lord, give me a breakthrough. Amen. I want to be an asset when we meet. You know, the worst thing is this. Here's the total worst. When a young person finally brings a friend, they get enough courage to talk to them, and they bring them to the first meeting, and the meeting's dead. That just is like a knife in my heart. I want that new one to come to see a bunch of people his age loving Jesus. Amen. Because that will do something. You don't need to say so much. You don't need to worry about sharing the triune God and the process of God. Forget all that stuff. You just bring him to a meeting where everybody's happy. They'll stay. Okay, amen. Now we get to two. We must learn to exercise and open our spirit by singing. So this verse is Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissoluteness, but be filled in spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and psalming with your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. Singing is just... Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. The most helpful way to exercise our spirit is to pray. That's right. You shared that yesterday. But sometimes it's even better to sing. Do you sing? I'm not talking about just the hymnal. Do you just sing? I'll be honest with you. By God's mercy and sovereignty, he gave me a wife just like me. Isn't that awesome? I mean, not for you, but for me. Who all the time sings the Word of God. All the time prays the Word of God. All the time calls on the Lord's name with no formality. And if you live with me for a while, I have an operatic life. My life is an opera. You know what an opera is? An opera is singing your story, right? It's just an opera where if you live with me, I sing all the time. Total, corny, nonsense stuff. But guess what? I'm in my spirit. Amen. And I'm enjoying the Lord. Amen. You know, it's just spontaneous. We don't think about it. I opened the cupboard. I'm making this up. I don't even know what song I'm going to sing right now. And I opened the cupboard up and there's no food. And I'll sing something like, oh, melody, there is no food, and I'm simply starving. And then I'll hear from the bedroom, oh, brother Brian, do not worry, something is coming. You know, just like that. And I'll echo back, that sounds good. In a lot of words, but still no food for me. And she'll say something like, "Oh, Brother Brian, stop your crying. Pretty soon there will be," you know, I just made that whole thing up. But that's an opera. All day long. Operas. You think our... Okay, let me tell you this. You know, I don't give marriage advice. I'm the oldest one in this whole camp, if you could believe that. I don't give marriage advice. When I married for 5 years, I gave a lot of advice. 10 years, I gave advice. Now, no more advice. 31 years I've been married. But I'll give you a secret. The secret to a happy marriage is to sing and pray God's word. Amen. With your spouse. That's it. That's the secret. And when your life becomes an opera, everything is so sweet. You know, we have a lot of things in the church life that we have to deal with and handle that aren't so pleasant. A lot of things. And a lot of things come my way. A lot of texts come my way. A lot of phone calls come my way. But I know that when I open the door to my house, I'm in the opera. Hallelujah. Because I could forget about all that. And I can enjoy Jesus with my wife. Well, we're not married yet. You can still enjoy Jesus with the ones you live with. Make your life an opera. The more we sing, the more our spirit will be strengthened. You know, that song, which I just made up, is really corny, isn't it? But you think about it. I was just touching the Lord with that. I was enjoying the Lord because I was exercising my spirit. Our poor neighbors, oh Lord. Have mercy on us. Amen. The more we sing, see, the more we get out of our mind and forget about our circumstance. You think, as college students, you have problems. You really think that. I know you do. I know you do. There's no one in the whole world that has more problems than you. No one. Well, let me tell you, it's not that way. The problems are always going to be there, and the circumstances are always going to be there. So what should we do? We should praise, thank the Lord, and we should sing His Word. The Word, I don't know if your appreciation for the Bible is coming a little bit more to fruition. The Word of God strengthens us. We sing the Word of God. Open our heart to sing. So we could sing hymns, we could sing the Word. Our singing is a test of whether or not we are in our spirit. Well, let me finish that one. The more we sing, the more we are in spirit, and the more our spirit is opened and released. None of you had a smile, had a sad face when you were singing 717, "Then rejoice evermore." You were all crazy. Yeah. You take that tune, you take that same tune, and you put it to a Bible verse. Let's try it. Amen, Tim. Brother, put your finger on a verse. Just put it on. Put it on. Oh my goodness. Render to all things due, tax to whom tax is due. Custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due. Oh, render to all the things due, tax to whom tax is due. Got to rhyme. Custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due, honor to whom honor is due. Honor! You know, you could take any verse. You just take a familiar tune. Like right now, I could continue singing this right now. It just flows. Yeah, it doesn't have to be formality. You don't have to think, oh, what tune should I sing? You just sing. You just sing. Sing by yourself. Practice by yourself. Then sing together. You know what happens when you sing together? You got to lose your face. You might be the only brother in the car driving to the meeting. All the brothers are... Hat.
You mean I got to get up at 10 o'clock for a meeting on Sunday? You got to be kidding me. Well, Brother Andy's there. He'll start to sing. Yeah. Oh, let us rejoice in the Lord ever. And all the brothers are... No, they won't. You might sing the whole first chorus. No one's going to sing it. So do you stop? No! You then sing, then rejoice evermore. And then you modify, you put a name in there. Hey, Paul, rejoice evermore. Hey, Joe, rejoice evermore. And then you come to the meeting a totally different person. Do you hear me? Will you practice this? Please promise me. Scout's honor. Just practice singing. Practice opening to a Bible verse randomly. That's the best. Just go, boom. You know, I'm not going to do it again, but that's a good verse. You know, and just sing. You'll feel your spirit will be pumped. And your mind will be calmed. You're making all these major decisions. I tell you, the more you pray for major decisions, the more unclarity you'll get. Here is the secret to major decisions in life. Forget about them. Take a Selah and just contact God. For no other reason but to contact Him. I mean that. Forget it. And tell Him, you know, I'm going to forget this, Lord. This decision's way too big for me to handle. All I do is get anxiety, stress, panic pains, panic attacks. It's not worth it. Good. Just leave it aside. Roll down your window while you're driving and shout to the top of your lungs how much you love Him. And then in the middle of the meeting, this is what will happen to you, because it's happened to me many times, in major decisions, in the middle of the meeting while you're singing praise and forgetting about it, the clarity comes. Oh, of course I should do it that way. Because you touch the Spirit. And in the Spirit is the Spirit. And the Spirit's God, and God knows what to do in your situation. But He stays in your mind. And, oh, here's a classic one, you know, the list, the pros and the cons. Here's the pros, here's the cons. Forget pros and cons. We live by the Spirit. But I say walk by the Spirit. Forget it. All your major decisions, I could tell you, I don't have time now. Have me over for dinner and I'll tell you. All the major decisions of my life have been made with this way. With the church and God's eternal purpose as an umbrella. You know what? I won every time. I've never lost. Okay. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, our singing is our test whether or not we are in the Spirit. You know, thank you, Lord, for Steve Jobs. He has an app called Voice Memos. You know Voice Memos? In the morning when I'm enjoying Jesus, singing to the Lord, I often will record it. I got 3 years of loving Jesus on here. At any time, I could just pull it up. And my wife and I, our favorite thing to do is we're just loving Jesus and say, hey, that's good, let's record that. And then, phew, we fire it out to 10 people. You know, you could do that on the phones. You know that, right? I'll give you a little sample. I'll give you 1 John 1:5. Now listen, this is all in the morning, so all the frog voices are there. Don't listen to that. They got so many of them. Where's it at? Amen, Lord, you're right here. Okay. Well, here it is. Ready? Let's try this.
I heard from him.
Okay, you got it. We got it done.
This is the message we announce to you.
I heard from him.
Amen.
God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
Amen.
God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Bring it home.
No, 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 no darkness at all. No, 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 no darkness at all.
Okay. That's our enjoyment. And then we fire it out to 10 people. Now we're using social media for God's purpose. You see, is social media bad? No. It's how you use it. How will you pick it up? And then throughout the day, a brother gets a text with this song on there. You know? How about John 14? John 14, 2 and 11, 25. Am I doing this wrong? Oh, good. Better. Sorry. Okay. Is it going to work?
John 14, 2 and John 11, 35. 25.
11, 25. In my Father's house.
Oh, time out. That was the air one. Here's another one.
John 14, 2 and John 11, 25. Hit it.
In my Father's house are many, many abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. For I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus said I am. Oh, Jesus said I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes into me, even if he should die, shall live, even if he should die, shall live. I am the resurrection and the life.
Okay. 10 people just got that. 10 brothers and sisters just got that. And they're at their office, you know, typing away. They go take a break and they hear that. Then they come back to the office typing like this. No, this is a real deal. This is a real deal. It sounds funny, but it's not. You just think when you're down in the dumps and you got, you know, you're going to go make a decision about something and hear this, no, 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 no. Oh, Lord Jesus. Our singing is a test of whether we are in our spirit. Amen. If we are in our spirit, we will constantly sing. We should have choruses memorized so that we could sing them all the time. Amen. You know, the significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God Himself. Prayer is the contact of the human spirit with the Spirit of God, during which man inhales God into himself. Therefore, the emphasis of prayer lies not in asking God for things, but in contacting and absorbing God. Okay, that is the first or second paragraph of Life Lesson 4 on prayer. In 1987, I put that to tune. I still sing that when I think about praying. Because it's in a tune, I could remember how to speak it, right? Think about it. Words give you to, you know. The significance of prayer is to contact God in our spirit and to absorb God Himself. Prayer is the contact of the human spirit with the Spirit of God, during which man inhales God into himself. Therefore, the emphasis of prayer lies not in asking God for things,
but in contacting and absorbing God. Contacting and absorbing God. Bring it home. Contacting and absorbing God. You take the ministry quotes, put them to a song, you'll never forget them. Yeah, that's now been 30 years from this day. I still remember that. You try to remember that in your mind and think about it. Okay, let me finish up. I got about 7 or 8 minutes. Under 3. Are you getting this? You know, this is not, I'm not performing in front of you. I'm giving you life experiences of someone who loves Jesus just like you. And I have to be brought out of myself all the time. I've been told, why are you so loud? Is God deaf? I'm aware of that. And I said, no, God's not deaf. I'm always in my mind. That's why I'm loud. I have to bust out. So many of you are still shackled. I hope this weekend you're not shackled. If you're shackled over the break, take a walk and contact the de-shackling Savior. God wants us to live a rejoicing, praying, thanking life. Such a life is a glory to God and a shame to his enemy. Wow! What a way to shame the devil, but to enjoy Jesus. He hates that. We could give thanks in everything and praise the Lord for everything. If we do this, we will prevail over every temptation and we will be able to withstand every trial. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus. You know, thanking is really something. I think if maybe Tony read the verses about the end times, you know, all the perverted things. If you caught that, one of them was hateful to parents and thankless. That's wrapped up in all the other gross, perverted things. Why did Paul put that in? You know, when I was a kid, no one shot their parents. I mean, I don't even, what are you talking about? Now you hear the news, it's all this frequent. People killed by their own children. You got to be kidding me. That is satanic to the core. You know why? They never thanked. They were thankless their whole life. You need to thank God for everything. You know, I'll give you a fresh experience. Like 10 hours ago, I had proposed something to the brothers I fellowship with and called them up. I said, I'm not going to be at the brothers' meeting Thursday. I'm coming up here. And I thought this proposal of mine was going to be a slam dunk. And I get home to my room last night at 10:45 and the text comes, your proposal's not a slam dunk. They didn't say it that way. You know, and right away, oh, this seemed like such a no-brainer. Why are these other brothers? Why don't these other brothers see it? So right away, there's like a physiologic change that starts to come. And I caught it right there. I began thanking the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for every situation. And so I took a walk today, and I'm reading through Luke in my normal reading. Pray, read 2 or 3 verses. Came across this one. This is at the last Passover when the Lord is with his disciples and mentions who betrays him. But behold, the hand of one betraying me is with me at the table. For the Son of Man is going according to what has been determined. And as I pray read that, you know, there's kind of a, when someone doesn't go your way, there's kind of a betrayal. It's like, isn't it obvious that this is the way to go? But the body has a different direction. It's kind of like, oh. And I was pray reading that. Then the word came, as determined. Has determined. Every situation is determined by God. Every situation determined by God, so you might as well thank him anyways. It's all determined. All of you thank the Lord when you do well on your tests. Some of you are so aggressive. You know, in the meetings, you're passive. But you get in academics. Fah!
I got a 90 on that test? You mean five people got better grades than me? Wait till next time. Wait till next time. Just competitive. Well, the best thing to do is just thank the Lord for your 90. I mean, if you knew me in school, I wouldn't only thank the Lord, I'd be ecstatic. I'd be doing jumping jacks. You know, I never got B's in college, only A's and C's. If I got a 90, I'd tell the professor, praise the Lord. But some of the, no, 90's not enough. I got to be the top, top. You know why you want to be the top? Because you don't thank for what you have. If you thank him for what you have, you'll never have that competitive spirit. You need to turn that competitive spirit into an exercise spirit in the church. Yeah. Oh, Lord. Hey, amen. Okay. I think I'm wrapping this up here. Amen. Okay. So the verse in Thessalonians says, Unceasingly, always rejoice. See, it starts with rejoicing. It doesn't say unceasingly pray. It says always rejoice. Because when you're rejoicing, it just turns into unceasing prayer. In everything, give thanks. Then it mentions about not quenching the spirit. Here's some simple points that will quench the spirit. So you'll know when to push out and exercise past it. A little gossip will quench the spirit. Loose talk, not obeying the Spirit. You know, sometimes the Lord touches us just to stand up in the meeting. But God could create the heavens and the earth, but he can't get us out of our chair. It's an amazing fact. We had a big meeting in Anaheim about 2 months ago. 5,000 people. And I was sitting in the audience and I wanted to share. What's the first thing that comes to mind? First of all, your first reaction is you want to start share, right? Then what happens? You start thinking about what you're going to share. Then you go back into formality and let someone else do it. So right away I stood up and I walked to the microphone. I didn't take anything with me. And I didn't know what I was going to say. And I'm walking, I still don't know what I'm going to say. And I'm like third in line. And it comes to me. And I shared for about 45 seconds, okay? I sat back and I said to myself, you know, that content, that was really not very good as far as content goes. But I was so happy that I shared. I was so happy that I just reacted on it. I just did it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't wait. Yeah, the sharing wasn't that good. Probably no one got fed. I don't care. I just did it. And I was so happy that night. Not happy that I share some good. Happy I just follow the Spirit. So when the Spirit leads you to praise in the meeting, you know, sisters, I don't believe sisters are quiet. I've seen them talk on the phone for hours. The record's 5, to my knowledge. How someone could talk on the phone for 5 hours? You've exhausted your entire human life. There's nothing more to talk about. And yet, to be in a meeting and just echo this, Lord, you're above everything else, is just impossible to do. Just that took 3 seconds. But you could talk for thousands of seconds. Just talk. That quenches your spirit. Exercise your spirit. Okay, too much joking. Don't think about what you're going to pray. That'll quench the spirit. You know, we were eating breakfast, and a brother came up to him, Brother Jerome, Emmanuel, you want to pray? He didn't go, let me think about it. By the time he finished the sentence, he was up walking. And when he went to the microphone, were you composing that prayer? What am I going to say in front of all these people at breakfast time? I want to say one last point. The brothers in the church, early church life, they were just alive with no formality, no formaldehyde. Everything was fresh. As Stephen says in Acts 46, that they took their food with exultation and singleness of heart, praising God. They took their food that way. Amen. What do we do? You know, I don't know how grace evolved over centuries. Let's say grace at the table. No one wants to say grace at the table. But they took their food with exultation. Not exaltation, E-X-A-L-T, but exultation, E-X-U-L-T, exult. Exulting means praising with leaping. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So I tried this on two occasions with the saints at my house. You know, they said their grace. And I kept praying while I was passing the food. You know, I think we had turkey or chicken. I took the wing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. No bites. No one followed. So next time, some time passed, another group of saints came, and I practiced it again, taking my food with exultation. Praise the Lord, we're here together. You know, swinging my food. I gave up. Too much formality. You know, pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father. You pray. Thank you for the food. Oh, Father. Father, remember that when we go home, you protect us. And Father, you know, by this time, everybody's sleeping. That's one side. The other side is making prayer before the meal a prayer meeting. When all 15 saints are praying these long prayers and the steam on the food is going away. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, we're together. Another saint says, praise the Lord for your provision. Another saint prays, thank you, Lord. We're meeting in your name. And boom, dig in. I never force my kids, whether this is right or wrong, I don't know. I never force my kids to pray at the dinner table. Some do. It's okay. No problem. But one of them was just resistant to pray. And so he would, whenever it came around where it was quiet and it was obvious that it was his turn to pray, he would always pray the same thing. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you, Lord, for the grub. That was the most living prayer we had. I think he touched his spirit with that because he said the Lord's name. Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you, Lord, for the grub. Okay. We're done. What do we do? Okay, good. So, testimonies. Okay. There's no place to speak a testimony. It's coming. Okay. Will you sing?
How about praise the Lord with your neighbor?
There you go. Oh, it's good. I forgot. Praise the Lord with your neighbor for 20 seconds. Forgot that.